Good morning. It's good to see you all. We are in the season of Advent. I'll be honest with you, and Todd can say this, we probably celebrate the season of Advent here because I'm a geek and a nerd when it comes to Advent. I love church stuff. I love the season of Advent. It is my favorite season. It is a season of longing and waiting and expecting and hoping and preparing room in our heart for Christ's light to break in. That we are preparing room, we are fasting, we are praying, we are being a generous people, and more Christ's light breaks in. And we lit the candle of Advent, and the candles here represent this lot more light breaking in each week. And you have the candle of hope, and then the candle of peace and joy is always the pink candle, if you wondered. And then the candle of love, and then Christmas Eve, we get to light the Christ candle. And the light of the world has entered in. And all of a sudden, this hope and this love and this peace and this joy that we so desperately desire in our lives can be taken hold of. That we can take hold of it not just in word, but in spirit, in our hearts. That it can be inside of us. And so we celebrate that. And I hope you've enjoyed the devotion. If you haven't picked up a devotional, you can pick it up and just pick up where we are. And I hope that's been good for you. But we say together at New Life Church, Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. Come and break in on us. Change our hearts and our minds to think like you, to be like you, and to love like you. Of the four themes of Advent, when it comes to peace, hope, love, and joy, for me, peace is probably the most difficult to grab hold of. It's so desired by people. It's so desired by me and my life and what I do, but yet so often it's difficult to achieve. Peace is defined by the freedom from disturbance or its tranquility. Would you say that when you're peaceful, you're tranquil? I like that word, tranquil. In the Bible dictionary, it says that peace is defined as a sense of well-being that comes from God and a dependence on His presence. This is peace. There are 790 verses in the Bible dedicated to peace. It's probably pretty important for us to kind of know what peace is and how do we actually achieve it. I was doing some research this week, looking back through some polls from recent years about just in America how people achieve being peaceful, and are we really a peaceful people? And there's this research group called the Pew Research Institute, and they research all different types of things, and they ask this question: how often during the week are you peaceful? And 60% of the people said, I'm peaceful maybe once, I have a moment of peace at least once a week. The other 40% said, I probably don't experience peace, really true peace, except maybe once a month, or maybe never. I always feel unbalanced. I always feel like there's chaos going either on in the outside or the inside. And Christmas, this Christmas season, so often exposes this deep unrest in us, especially in America and in our own hearts, because peace is at the center of human desire. Everyone wants to be peaceful. Would you say that's true? Like, you want to go through your week and be peaceful. We all want, it's at the center of human desire, yet we try to grab onto it in so many different ways that just don't work. When I was a kid, I know this may sound weird to you, but when I was a kid, my grandmother, she watched three things. 2020, Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters, you guys remember them? All right, I go over, spend the night, we're definitely watching 2020, all right? If there was a tennis match on, she loved Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi. I mean, she would watch those matches. If she had a DVR, she would like watch him and watch him again. She loved tennis. She also really loved to watch the Miss USA pageants or the Miss Universe pageants. All right, so she would have these on, and I have three brothers, and we would spend the night, and she would be like, "Hey, we're gonna watch the Miss USA pageant tonight." We're like, "Oh my gosh, you know what are we doing here?" But you know what we did? We watched it. And so we'd sit down, and of course they would have all the different things that they do that we didn't watch. She wouldn't let us watch a particular part of it because she's a good grandmother. But she always got to the place, she was like, I want you guys to listen to this. And she would always kind of tune our ears into the time where they would ask the contestant questions. And they would ask them, you know, like, If you could be anything, what would you do? If you were the president of the United States, how would you change things? And, you know, they ask them all types of questions. And I can remember over and over again, they would ask them, what do you want? What would you want to see happen in this world? They would be like, I want to see world peace. I want to see starvation end. I want to see crime rates go down. I want to see people be peaceful. That's what they desperately desired. That's how they would respond. And you know what? We're not doing so well on the world peace thing, right? In the last 100 years, we've had world wars. We've had 9/11. People are still starving. There are nations still hurting. So there's the world peace thing, but then there's also the inner peace thing that we're after. We want our souls to be peaceful as well. Nearly half the world, the statistics are telling us right now, nearly half or over half the world are dealing with mental illness post-pandemic. Like, people are dealing with a heaviness that they have never dealt with before. Yet in the middle of all of these things, in the middle of this moment right now, Advent tells us the good news that Christ, the Prince of Peace, is coming. His light and His peace are coming to break in on our lives. And here's the good news for you this morning. You can live in peace. No matter what chaos is going on outside of us, what pandemic comes around us, what failure we have in our life, what responsibility that we drop the ball on, or death and destruction, or inside of depression and anxiety and all that, you can take hold of peace in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this doesn't mean you're not going to encounter problems, but when your world is falling apart, or the world itself is, you can live in the center of peace with Jesus. So here we are in the already not yet world. Jesus has already come, but He's not yet returned. And so how then do we live in peace while we wait for Jesus to come back? Or we go on, like that song we sing, or we go on to heaven and we live in peace forever. How do we live in peace? Well, while we wait, I want you to know this truth, that Jesus' peace has the power to reorder your life so you can be a person of love and joy and hope. And so we look to Jesus. Whenever you have a question like, how do we be a hopeful people? How do we be a joyful people? If you're a Christ follower, you always look to who? To Christ. And you say, how did He do it? What was He sent for? And so I want to tell you really several things about Jesus that help us take hold of the promise of peace, all right, in Christ. So the first thing is that in Isaiah, back when they prophesied Jesus coming, Jesus is the promise of peace. If you have your scriptures in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 7, this should be a familiar scripture to you. But this scripture was written by the prophet Isaiah, foretelling Jesus is coming. And this peace that we so desperately need, or they wanted and desired, it was coming. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 7. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation, and you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you with this joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken on this day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling of warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And this is a beautiful picture of Christ coming, his light breaking in on us. And you got to remember that Isaiah was writing this at a point of exile and a point of slavery. You remember the people of Israel, they were slaves. You remember back in Exodus when they were slaves and they were free across the Red Sea and all this. And they would have to go and they would have to give sacrifice for this peace. It was only a moment of time. They would give a sacrifice for their sins and then they would go right back in the world, and they can never hold on to peace internally. It just wasn't something they could do. They were burdened by this. And Isaiah comes and he writes this prophecy to the people, and he says, a king will come to offer peace. No longer will it be a peace that you read about on the outside, but it will be a new covenant where the law is actually written on your heart. No longer will you have to try to find it, but it will be found, and his light will come into your heart. In the Bible, there is a 400-year period. There's a big word for it called the intertestamental period. You don't really need to remember that. But it's a 400-year period between the last time God spoke to a prophet and when Jesus came and his light, like, came as a baby, he was born. So it was 400 years where God did not speak to his people. 400 years. Now for me, when I talk to the Lord and he hadn't spoke to me in 2.5 seconds, I get pretty frustrated. Imagine longing and waiting for this light to come for 4 or 5 lifetimes. They are waiting. They so deeply desire to grab hold of the Prince of Peace. They long for it. But there was this promise that Isaiah told them, he is coming. And no longer would it be on the outside, but it would come to your hearts. So there is a promise of Jesus and his peace that is promised to us through the prophet. And then Jesus arrives with peace. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. This is probably a familiar passage to you as well. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all those whom his favor rests. And when the angel left them, he had gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Jesus enters the world in peace. Do not be afraid. Peace has arrived. And all of a sudden, what they had been waiting and longing for is possible. It's possible. Peace is possible. And we know that we are in Christ now. If you are in Christ, you know peace is possible with God, that we can have peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Peace with God doesn't come from something we do. Peace with God comes from what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So now with Christ in this world, we can have peace with God. We can have peace within. No longer do we have to wait for that. Colossians 3:16, that you can let peace rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For those of you who have a confused heart, in Christ, you can grab hold of a guiding peace. For those who have a heart of shame, in Christ, you can grab hold of a forgiving peace. When we have a worried heart, in Christ, you can grab hold of a confident peace. So not only do we have peace with God in his entering, but we have peace within. And then finally, we have peace with others. The Lord offers us relational peace. Ephesians 2:16, together as one body, Christ has reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. It is so much easier to give grace and forgive when you yourself are forgiven. And if we stop and think about the moments where we've needed the grace, we've noticed the moments where we need to be forgiven, how easy it is for us to extend that as well. That we are broken and we do need the Savior, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace to break in on us so that we can love others. And you know, when we talk about peace, a lot of times we can believe that peace is removing all this stuff from our life and there's absence from it, whatever it is that distracts us. But peace isn't the absence of something. Peace is the presence of someone. Peace is not the absence of something. Peace is the presence of someone. And when Jesus arrives on the scene, he's saying, look, it's not about getting rid of all this stuff. It's about my presence being in the center of your life. We can remove toxic behaviors and relationships and ideas from our lives. In those absences, we should absolutely remove those things. But it is Jesus' presence that will bring peace to us. That's what will bring peace to us. So Jesus arrives with peace, telling us, do not be afraid. And then Jesus does something so kind as he leaves the earth. John 14, 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from the Father, will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring you your remembrance and all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In the first and final days of Jesus' life, he says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I give you peace. I leave you. In his kindness, he leaves us peace. And peace is more than a sensation we get, but a movement of God toward our frail and broken hearts. God moves toward our frailness and our brokenness. And I think at some point along the way, we've bought into this idea that God moves away from our brokenness and he moves away from our frailty in life. But that's the very places where he wants you to take hold and grab hold of his peace. In the broken, frail parts of your life. You see, the Holy Spirit moves toward the tension and conflict in our lives and brings order and rest. But we have to allow him to do that. And the beautiful thing is that he leaves us with his Holy Spirit to search our hearts so that when we are at unrest, we can say, Holy Spirit, what is going on here? Search my heart. Show me where I need to hear your voice. So Jesus departs, but he doesn't part without leaving us peace. He has promised. He has a promised peace. He enters the world in peace, and he leaves us peace. And then he even promises when he returns, he will wipe every tear from every eye. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, and all these things are gone forever. Doesn't that sound like peace? When he returns, there will be no more chaos. We will just absolutely live in peace. And this is the good news, that peace is promised to those who have Christ at the center of their lives. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's all great, good Bible stuff, John, but actually, how's this work? You know, like, Jesus has promised, I get it, he's the light of the world. He entered the world with the shepherds, like, they knew that, like, do not be afraid, and he leaves. That's all good stuff, but let's be honest. You know, some of us will sit at a table this Christmas with an empty chair. Some of us will walk into Christmas with family conflict. Not that I know what any of that's like. Some of us in this room are in deep financial stress. And all of us are in this wake of COVID, this pandemic, which every day seems like a new fight. How then do we live in peace? Yeah, you can say all these things. How is it possible? How do we practically live out and take hold of that Christ's peace? How do we lean into this? Well, I want to give you three quick things, very quick things, that I believe will help you to lean in to Christ and his peace. First is that we must experience Christ. It might seem real simple, but we have to know that we cannot find true peace apart from Jesus Christ. It's not found in a feeling. It's not found in a job. It's not found in the success of my children, but it's found in a person, and that's Jesus. Now, we experience Christ as Christians through different ways, and it takes us being disciplined. It takes us praying and opening our hearts to the Lord on a daily basis and saying, Lord, search my heart. Come, Lord Jesus, let me prepare room in my life. It takes us resting. It takes us resting. Sabbath rest is important. It's important to take a day to slow down so that you can actually hear what Christ is saying to your heart, so he can draw close to your frail, broken parts. We worship together, we fast. And this does not happen without obedience and submission to Christ. Tim Keller said this, this lie that we often believe, if I obey God, I will not be peaceful. But this is the same lie that Satan told in the garden. Remember that lie? Like, if you obey the Lord, your life, you need to take over yourself. Like, this is the root lie, right? To be your own God. I want to tell you a truth, that our obedience to God will always lead us to peace. And He will discipline us in a way that leads us to peace. It may not feel good at the time, but His discipline, as Hebrews 12 talks about, will lead us into this peace that we can take hold of. I do that for my children, right? I often do that for my children. Like, when I discipline my kids, it's not to lead them into what? Chaos. Like, I discipline my kids in such a way so their life will be peaceful. They have boundaries in their life, and they can find this peace. This is not too much different than the way God disciplines us to lead us into peace. So we must experience Christ. How much more peaceful are you when you are obedient to the very one who made you? We cannot experience true peace apart from submission and obedience to Christ. So we experience Christ on a daily basis. We, the one who can bring us peace, we experience Him through prayer and fasting and praying and being in this room together. Second thing, we declutter our hearts and our lives. We declutter it. I'm convinced for my own self, I'll be honest, this is me telling on myself, I often choose chaos in life because it distracts me from the real things going on inside. If there's a moment where I can pick up the phone and I can, distract myself from maybe some of the wounds from the day, some of the hurts that I've had, some of the frailties that I don't want to think about, I can distract myself because it keeps us from identifying what's going on inside. And the truth is, we become escape artists with Netflix and jobs and phones and all the things. But what is it in your life? I know what it is in mine, that you need to declutter to experience the peace Christ offers. Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it judgmental attitudes? Is it full schedules? What is it? Because so often, we easily give up the real estate of our heart to the world. And we wonder why we aren't peaceful. We so often give the real estate up of our hearts to the world and what it desires instead of Christ, and we wonder why we aren't peaceful. Who has the real estate of your heart? Is it the world or is it Christ's? Because decluttering our life will allow you to face the conflict and confusion of your life. And when you face it, you know Jesus is going to go right there with you every time. He will not leave you behind. He will not push you forward. He will take you by the hand and go straight in to these confusions and conflicts. So we declutter our lives and our hearts. What is it in your life that you need to declutter to take hold of Christ's peace that is promised to us? And if we know that Christ is peace and we declutter our lives, what does that mean for us as Christ followers? Now, end with this, that we share the peace of Christ with others. You remember that great sermon in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9? Greatest sermon that's ever preached in the history of the world. He talks about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. How will you be identified in this world as a son of God? By someone who brings peace. And as a Christ follower, we are drawn toward places of unrest. Our hearts are tendered toward the people who are broken. Our hearts are captive. Notice where people's hearts are captive to the world's deception. Our hearts are not blind to the truth. When we experience the peace of Christ, we don't get to set back and just set and not do anything with it. We have to share it and meet people at the point of their need. We are peacemakers. This is how we experience the peace of Christ. I found this really cool graphic that you can check out here. It talks about, there's people sometimes get confused on Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Should we be peacekeepers or peacemakers? And definitely not peacebreakers. But I found this, and it really helped me understand the idea of being a peacemaker. And you can see it in the middle, like, it's constructive, healthy, conflict, shows love, stands for justice, healthy boundaries. And so often, I remember growing up, like, you know, you have some family come over, and mom would always say, just keep the peace, you know, don't say anything, don't talk about grandma's terrible, you know, whatever cake she made. And so, we are not peacekeepers in Christ, and we're certainly not peacebreakers. We are peacemakers. That means that sometimes we have the hard conversations, but it always means that we show love, that we stand for justice for those who are brokenhearted, that are captive by the world, that we want to step into their lives and share peace with them, and we have healthy boundaries so that we can experience Christ. And if you look at this graphic, you can just maybe even think in your mind right now, where do I fall in these categories? Because for me, it depends on the situation, you know. But where is it that I fall, and how can I be made into a peacemaker and be known as a child of God? Peace for us in this world seems so elusive. I know for me, and I've spoke freely about this, I've dealt with deep anxiety and depression for probably 20 years. And for me, this is always like a gut check, preaching on peace, because it's something that I feel like oftentimes I have trouble taking hold of myself. There are times when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm anxious, or maybe even in the middle of a panic attack, and I've had to teach myself, like, to go to the source of peace, Jesus, to ask him to help me survey my heart, to ask him to go to the broken, frail edges of my heart and minister to me. And I want to say that he's done it every single time. There's not one time that I've asked him where he has not brought the peace that he promised, the Prince of Peace. If you're a person that is depressed and anxious, you are frail on the inside. You are one step away from who knows what, from just failure in life. I want you to know that you can take hold of the peace Christ offers, and you can truly experience that on a daily basis. Where do you need to experience Christ's peace? Who truly has the real estate of your heart? Where do you need to declutter and move things out? And maybe this Christmas season, as family comes together and that family conflict we talk about, who is it that you need to step into being a peacemaker with? Who are they that you need to step in to be a peacemaker? And I want to tell you, you cannot do it apart from Christ. Can't do it on your own accord. It takes him being at the center of all that you do. So I want you to know this promise this morning, that the light of Christ has come, and we celebrate and anticipate his coming on Christmas Eve, but you right now can take hold of the Prince of Peace. You don't have to wait. And if you're here this morning and that's something you've never done, you've never experienced true peace because you have not grabbed hold of the Prince of Peace, we can talk about that. You can come grab me after this service. And maybe it's for you decluttering some things or whatever, but whatever it takes to grab hold and experience him, I pray that you will hear the voice of the Lord and follow what he says, because it is good. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing. The altar is always open. And thanks for being here. I don't know where this lands for you, but I pray the Holy Spirit would use it to mold and shape you to look like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you are a Prince of Peace sent to us that we can take hold of in our life.